News brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In state news, several Republican presidential hopefuls are trying to push Nevada into pulling back on its mid-January caucus date, siding with New Hampshire in its showdown with other states over scheduling early primaries and caucuses. New Hampshire Secretary of State Bill Gardner said Wednesday that he's prepared to schedule the first in the nation primary in early December to avoid squeezing between Iowa's caucuses, which are tentatively scheduled for January 3rd, and Nevada's caucuses on January 14th. On Thursday, the campaigns of John Huntsman, Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum, and Michelle Bachmann all said they would boycott Nevada unless its caucus date is changed. Rick Perry, Mitt Romney, and Ron Paul said while they respect New Hampshire's role, they will compete everywhere. Herman Cain's campaign did not immediately respond to inquiries. I'll have more news after this.
Noise is one of the most common causes of hearing loss and one of the most common occupational illnesses in the United States. This is audiologist Doug Leonard from ASI. It only takes a single gunshot to permanently damage your hearing. It's just that quick. Repeated workplace exposure to loud equipment can also impair your hearing. My challenge to you is to protect your hearing with these simple tips. At home, turn down the volume of the television, radio, stereo, and iPods. When using loud equipment at home, such as lawnmowers, leaf blowers, and string trimmers, wear hearing protection. And at work, use hearing protection even for brief noise exposure, such as impact wrenches or nail guns. Foam plugs, ear muffs, or better yet, custom molded hearing protection from ASI can all be effective. Because good hearing is so critical, make sure that your family and friends are aware of the hazards of noise exposure. Protect the hearing that you have now. Call ASI today, and together we will determine the best way to protect your hearing. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Elsewhere in state news, the national spokesperson for a group that's seeking to take the selection of the president out of the hands of the Electoral College said the movement is gaining steam. Tom Golisano of the National Popular Vote Initiative was in Des Moines Thursday talking about the effort. The group needs states that have 270 or half of the Electoral College votes to approve the change to make it happen.
There's a lot of enthusiasm around our position now. It's more a feeling of when and not if that's going to happen. We have lobbying efforts going on in all the states that haven't signed up yet. By the way, that number is about 10 or 11. We have bills in 35 houses of state legislatures across the country. This movement is well on its way, probably something that's long overdue.
Golisano said the group had first targeted the 2016 election to get enough states to change, but he said the increased momentum makes 2012 a possibility. He says one hurdle, there's a lot of misunderstanding about how the Electoral College works and also about the movement to change the popular vote.
The Republicans think it's a Democratic conspiracy. The Democrats think it's a Republican conspiracy, and they're always wondering how it's going to help either one party or other, one candidate or another, in the next election. National Popular Vote is not about that. We think they're both wrong. It's not a conspiracy by either group. But what it is a long-term concern that the presidential elections in this country are handled fairly and equitably. And by that I mean the candidate with the most votes wins.
Golisano said the 2000 election is an example that stands out to most people, where George Bush won the presidency, even though Al Gore won the popular vote. He says if John Kerry had won 60,000 more votes in Ohio in 2004, the tables would have been reversed on Bush, even though he had 3 million more votes overall than Kerry. Under the Electoral College, each state gets one vote for each of its two U.S. senators and one for each representative. Iowa currently has 7 Electoral College votes, but is losing one, as the 2010 census led to the loss of one representative. But Golisano says changing the system would not make Iowa any less important in the process because of the first-in-the-nation caucuses.
But also, just as important, maybe more important, you have about 900,000 swing voters in Iowa, and any presidential candidate would be foolish to ignore the power of those 900,000 votes. And also the ability, from a marketing perspective or advertising, television, that type of thing, probably it'd be less expensive per potential voter than it would be almost in many parts of the country. So certainly Iowa would not be ignored.
And he says the candidates would probably come here because it was cost-effective to campaign in Iowa. There are now television and newspaper ads running in Iowa touting the change to the popular vote that attacked Texas governor and Republican presidential candidate Rick Perry. Golisano says Perry is the only candidate that's taken a stand to stay with the Electoral College.
It's unfortunate Mr. Perry has taken somewhat most of the brunt of this. The fact is he's put his position in writing, and no one else has, and that's why we have focused on Rick Perry.
And Gonzalo says he's more encouraged now than he has been about Iowa making the change to the popular vote, but he wouldn't say what he thought the chances were of that happening. Iowa's influential evangelical pastors are up for grabs, divided on which of the Republican presidential candidates who call themselves born-again Christians they should support. 4 years ago, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee won Iowa's GOP caucuses, partly as the consensus choice of the pastors. This time around, Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann, businessman Herman Cain, and former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, Texas Governor Rick Perry, and former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum all have cases to make and have come calling. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney is more moderate on many social issues. Should pastors and, by extension, evangelical voters remain divided, he could emerge from the pack by capturing voters who put jobs and economic issues above social causes. The anti-corporation Occupy movement that's caused a stir in Des Moines and Iowa City in recent days is heading west to Omaha Council Bluffs. Dustin, who only gives his first name, says he's part of a group that's planning to march from Omaha's City County building to the Federal Reserve Bank on Saturday.
We're not protesting, we're demonstrating, showing kind of our solidarity with the sentiment of the feeling of what people in New York are doing.
The Occupy Wall Street movement started in New York City on September 17th when protesters took to the streets to protest financial industry practices, economic inequality, and taxation. A Tea Party rally is also planned for Saturday in Omaha, and Dustin says it's just a coincidence.
We have a lot in common with the Tea Party. The only difference is that mainstream Democrats have not yet accomplished the co-opting of this movement, while mainstream Republicans that joined the Tea Party have been co-opted.
Julie Fredrickson is a member of the Tea Party and says essentially they'll be demonstrating against the demonstrators in Omaha on Saturday.
We don't plan to block the streets. We'll see what the other group does, but we're only responsible for ourselves, and we plan to be peaceable.
She said she doesn't put much stock into the Occupy group's efforts.
If these people really took a look at what's going on within their group of zombies, they would be marching, like Herman Cain says, on the White House.
About 30 members of the Occupy Des Moines group were arrested Sunday night after they refused to leave the Capitol grounds at the required time of 11 p.m. In other local news, an altercation at the Harlan High School Wednesday resulted in one student being sent to the hospital and another charged with assault. According to the Harlan Police Department, 15-year-old Aaron Michaels of Harlan was charged with assault causing injury following an altercation between the teen and Justin Dickinson, who's also from Harlan. Dickinson was transported to Murtu Medical Center following the incident, where he was treated for a possible head injury. Michaels was cited for the alleged offense and released to the custody of his father. His case was referred to juvenile court. And last week, on October the 6th, three teens from Harlan and the fourth from Elkhorn were cited for offenses which include assault, disorderly conduct, and false reporting to police following an altercation at the Harlan skate park. Authorities said 17-year-old Hannah Shackelford of Harlan was charged with disorderly conduct, assault with injury, and false reporting to police. Tabitha Wyatt, age 17 of Harlan, was charged with criminal mischief, disorderly conduct, and assault with injury. 16-year-old Chantel Ayers of Harlan was charged with disorderly conduct, and 17-year-old Dylan Jagger of Elkhorn was charged with disorderly conduct, assault with injury, and false reporting. Each of the teens were cited and released to their parents or guardians. Their cases were referred to juvenile court. In national news headlines at this hour, a surge in retail sales is providing a hopeful sign for the sluggish economy. The government says U.S. consumers spent more on autos, clothing, and furniture in September to boost retail sales by the most in 7 months. The Commerce Department says retail sales increased 1.1% last month. Auto sales rose 3.6% to drive the overall gain. Excluding that category, sales increased a solid 0.6%. Fears of a showdown between police and Wall Street protesters in New York City have been eased after a planned cleaning of the protest encampment in Lower Manhattan was postponed. The protesters said it was a pretext to evict them. In Denver, dozens of police in riot gear have been pushing Wall Street protesters into retreat outside of the state capitol. The protesters are not resisting. And a top Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee said lawmakers looking to cut the deficit should consider some of President Obama's proposed changes in military health and retirement benefits. Arizona Senator John McCain signaled that he was open to the changes in a letter to a special bipartisan committee that's looking for ways to cut $1.2 trillion from the deficit. News time is 8:11.
Did you know that familiar sound can take a toll on your hearing, especially if you've been farming for any length of time? You can't reverse hearing loss caused by noise, but you can improve your ability to hear your loved ones again. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. I know you're busy now, but if hearing those around you has become a problem, Schedule your evaluation today. It only takes about a half hour. It isn't painful, and the potential stress, frustration, and miscommunication with your family and friends can be avoided. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And in the funeral announcements, Frances Jarnigan, age 72 of Panora, died Sunday at her home. Memorial services for Frances Jarnigan will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Virginia Rasmussen, age 86 of Elkhorn, died Monday. Funeral services for Virginia Rasmussen will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. 83-year-old Mardell Hancock of Waverly and formerly of Indianola died Saturday. A graveside service for Mardell Hancock will be on Monday at 5 o'clock at the Memorial Garden Cemetery in Atlantic. And Richard Eugene Williamson, age 42, of Loveland, Colorado, and formerly of Anita, died Saturday. Graveside services for Richard Williamson will be on Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Evergreen Cemetery at Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Anita has the arrangements. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.